word today. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. And God bless you this morning. Praise God. Amen. I spent some 20 years visiting, walking beside, hunting, fishing, you name it. We did it together. We joked. We cut up. We prayed. We prayed in the sanctuary. We prayed in the car, in the truck. We prayed together. And if there was anything that could get Brother Boney to become emotional, sentimental, fired up, it was to begin to talk about truth. Going down the road in silence, and he'd turn around and look, and his voice breaking, he'd say, you know, he said, I love this truth. I love this truth. He got a revelation. That's the truth that's going to save you. It's the truth that's going to set you free. Amen. It's absolute truth. It's what matters. I remember hearing Brother Westberg many, many years ago, and he would say, it's either straight or it's crooked. Somebody said something, you know, we're going to preach this straighter than straight. He's like, it's either straight or it's crooked. You can't make straight any straighter. It's either straight or it's crooked. It's either right or it's wrong. Amen. Praise God. And that's the way that truth is. I know that some of the greatest men that have ever lived upon the face of the earth and had the titles that was desirable to many others have had an issue with truth. I could take the time to talk to you about many of these different ones. We could talk about Hitler and how that he just simply despised and wanted to completely wipe out all of the Jews. There have been others. There were those that would, Agrippa would look at, King Agrippa would look at the apostle and he would say, almost thou persuadest me. Almost you persuadest me. Others would say, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. Truth is not always easy to accept. Most of the time, truth about yourself is not always easy to accept. But another one that had a very strong issue with truth was a man by the name of Pilate. Jesus would look at Pilate as he was standing before him as the accused, and he would just simply say to him, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate, hearing this, would turn aside and ready to walk out to face the people. He would just simply make a statement and say, what is truth? What is truth? Sometime this past Tuesday, sometime around 3:40-something in the morning, I woke up and this was upon my mind, what is truth? And so I picked up my iPad and I got on Google and I began to ask it, and I just simply said, define truth. And of course, it gave me a definition of truth, but not only did it give me the definition of truth, it gave me many other sources that would give the definition of truth. And so I read, and it would simply say, dictionary.com would say that truth is the quality or the state of being true, that which is true in accordance with fact and or reality. Merriam-Webster's dictionary said that it is the body of real things, events, and facts, and actuality. It is the property as of a statement of being in accord with fact or reality. And one said the best definition of truth that could be given is that it is the property of being in accord with fact or reality. Amen. But the Bible teaches us really what truth is. In John 17 and 17, Jesus would say, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Praise God. And I am so thankful to know the truth and to have the truth that I have today. Praise God. I believe, and I'm not going to get off on this, but I believe that truth is progressive. Amen. For the Bible teaches us that when the Spirit of truth is come, that it will lead you into all truth. Praise God. Amen. You don't have to have all of the revelations, and we're going to get into that here in a moment. I guess might as well just jump into it, but you don't have to have all of the revelations of truth. Amen. To begin to accept the truth. The Bible says in the book of John chapter number 3 that there was a man, or there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus. The Pharisees were Jews, and they were very observant people. They were separatists exclusively in religion, but they were observant of the Mosaic law in what was called Judaism of that time. And the problem with Judaism was that it was rooted in 1,500 years of truth and teaching and traditions. For they met in synagogues and they observed the Sabbath and they kept the dietary laws and they made annual pilgrimages to Jerusalem and they observed the feast and they observed the fast and they paid their tithe and they paid their temple taxes and they bowed to the ever-growing traditions of the so-called oral law or the burgeoning of the tradition of elders. And it all seems so solid and it all seems so real because that they were living in a world of the things that were seen. And a Jew that was confronted by this new way called Christianity had to face the facts that Judaism was obsolete. Amen. And that it was something that God clearly proclaimed when he tore asunder the temple veil when he passed away. And this monumental act signified the era of the end to the end of the seen things. And the Jews just simply failed to recognize it, for all that they could see was that the temple was still standing and the sacrifices were still being offered and that the priests were still functioning and that the rules and the rituals and the regulations were still being observed. Even until this day. Hey, amen. They are so focused upon the things that are or could or should be seen. Amen. They want the temple to be rebuilt. They want the red heifers to be standing in front of them unblemished. They are so caught up in that world that was done away with, amen, at Calvary. And when the Jew was invited to become a Christian, he faced this dilemma. Amen. Judaism in all of its outward and visible forms seems so very real. And Christianity seemed to be a religion of the intangibles. And the teaching of Christianity was simple, but it was purely spiritual. It claimed that Judaism was a religion of shadows and of the substance of Christ. And this Christ was a man called Jesus, whom the Jews had rejected and crucified and established to be a blasphemer. That's who the Pharisees were, stooped in religion, stooped in tradition, a man that had an issue with this new and living way. This is who that Nicodemus was. And the Bible said that there was a Pharisee whose name was Nicodemus. And this individual, the Bible says that he came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God,
For no man can do these miracles, amen, that thou doest, except God be with him. I want you to know that Jesus stopped him right there. Jesus perceived, understood, and knew where this conversation was going. There are differences of opinions of why that Nicodemus the Pharisee would approach Jesus by night. One would be that Jesus was basically unapproachable during the day, being thronged by the assembly and the crowds. And so Nicodemus was choosing a time that Jesus would be more approachable, more available. Others would say that Nicodemus was having an internal war within his spirit, in that he could see the ways of the spiritual, but he yet had problems with the way of the physical things, the battle of the unseen versus the seen. He wasn't ready to give up the temple and all of the other things, but yet there was something that was intriguing. There was something that was drawing unto him that caused him to seek Jesus out. And he would say, we know that no man can do these things except God be with him. And Jesus stopping him and said, look, listen, Nicodemus, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, you are desiring to see some things because you live in the world of the seen, and you're desiring to see the visible, the tangible of things. But I'm just going to tell you, Nicodemus, that you're not going to be able to see these things except that you are born again. We know that threw Nicodemus for a loop, and he said, how shall I be born again? And Jesus reiterated it unto him, except a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There is no other way, Nicodemus. He said, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. He said, amen, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, but that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And so Nicodemus began to wonder, ponder, weigh out, began to try to balance these things out. And we would see that Nicodemus would convert to Christianity. And the only way that it can happen, it does not matter if you're a Pharisee, amen, or if you're just a wicked, vile sinner like you and I have been, amen, except a man be born. He was saying there is no other way, amen. He could have said unless, amen, and he could have said there is no other way. You're not going to see the kingdom of God. You're not going to enter into the kingdom of God except you are born again. There are people out there today that says, well, I just can't see why that you do this and you do that. You're not going to see the why of all of those things. I just can't see why you live the way that you live. You're not going to see why. You're not going to understand why that we live the way that we live. I just can't see why you believe the things that you believe. You're not going to understand. You're not going to see, amen, all of the things, the truth, the revelation of all of these things, unless you get into the kingdom of God. And there's only one way to get into that kingdom. You must be born again. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Praise God. Amen. There's no sense in trying to sit down and explain it to people. They don't understand why we dress holy. They don't understand why our women don't cut their hair. They don't understand why they wear dresses. They don't understand why men, amen, wear pants. They don't understand why men have good clean hair. I'm just preaching the truth to you today. They don't understand why, amen, that we do these things, operate these things. They don't understand why we go to church all the time. They don't understand, amen, the stances that we take. They don't understand hardly anything that we do whatsoever at all. And they want to ridicule and critique and say, you don't have to do. How do you know how do you know what you can and cannot do when you haven't been born again? Amen. There's only one way to be born again. Amen. And how can you? It's like me telling Sister Pam how to do her job. I don't know her job. I don't know what she does. It would be foolish of me to sit down and say, now I'm going to tell you here. Here's what you need to do. Amen. And so to sit down with one and try to explain it all to them, amen, really in reality and a lot of times is just a waste of time. What isn't a waste of time is to tell and to share your testimony of how that God changed your life. Amen. Not only of that, amen, you can tell them about repentance. You cannot argue with repentance. Amen. Repentance is necessity. You can talk about baptism. You can talk about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And they can understand these things. Why can they understand that? Because that's what it takes to enter into the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Praise God. There are so many enemies of the truth that work in opposition of the truth, but none have the power, the ability, the capacity, whatever you want to label it as, none have the ability to alter, to change the truth. Truth is static. It's either right or it's wrong. It's either straight or it's crooked. Nothing has the ability to change the truth. Amen. As a matter of fact, when we say that sanctify them with truth, for thy word is truth, we understand that the word is forever settled in heaven. And the Bible says that you can't add to the word, nor can you take away from the word. For all that do so, their names will be taken out of the Lamb's book of life. It's established. It is there. You know why it is there? It's because God's not partial. God's not going to hold Peter, James, and John and all of the rest of them to one truth and then come over to us and say, well, if Peter would have done this, it would have caused him to be lost, but I'm going to allow you to do this. That doesn't make any sense. Truth is truth. Praise God. Truth, the absolutes without variations. It doesn't matter who defines truth. It doesn't matter if it's dictionary.com, Merriam-Webster. It doesn't matter if it's the best definition of it. Truth has one meaning. Amen. It doesn't matter, amen, if the hierarchies and the kingdoms and all of the other people and rulership and dictatorship, if they decide that they're going to redefine truth, it does not matter. Truth has one meaning. Amen. It is the absolute without variations. Praise God. No one, amen, is able to define truth in any other way. I want to talk to you about some of the things that try to redefine truth, some of the things that try to weasel their way into truth. And we have got to stand for truth, for the Bible teaches us that we are to buy the truth and sell it not. Praise God. Amen. I've come today to tell you that religion does not alter truth. Religion cannot, it doesn't possess the power to alter truth. Amen. Somebody looks around and says, well, I don't know what church to go to, for there's so many different churches. There's so many different religions. There's so many, amen. I've got the answer. You need to find one that preaches the truth. And you say, well, they all preach the truth. Well, then here's what we got to do. We got to take what they preach and we got to line it up to the word of God. If it doesn't line up to the word of God, it's not truth. Amen. They may stand and say, you know what, the devil is king. Well, that's an easy one to throw down. Amen. But there may be one little thing in there, amen, that tries to alter it. I want you to know that hell will sell you a big lie, amen, to try to divert the truth, or it'll put in just one little thing to make it false. You've heard me speak of it before, but I hate true false test. I hate true false test, because all it takes is one little word to make it go from true to false. And sometimes you can read it so diligently and you answer that it's true and you get your paper back and it says it was false. You say, well, why was this false? And it's one little word. I want you to know today, amen, that there are religions that don't even they don't even have a form of godliness. They're so far off in left field. They just want everybody to be good people, but you still get to do everything that you did while you was in the world. Amen. It doesn't matter. You can smoke cigarettes. You can cuss like a sailor. You can live ungodly. You don't have to get married. All they just be a good person, and they think that you're going to go to heaven. I have seen people that have been religiously bankrupt, amen, of all morality and everything, but come to a funeral, somebody will stand over them and say, oh, they were saved. You say, okay, preacher, so you're going to be in the business of judging. Don't even start with that. Amen. I've told several people I'm not the judge, and I'm not about to step into that role. Amen. Let the dead bury the dead, and there's only one that can judge them, and that is God. But the fruit of their life, amen, depicts a lot of things. I've seen deathbed repentances. I've sat there and I've prayed with my own grandmother. Let me just say it like this. Many, 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 many years before my grandmother passed away, she had been baptized in Jesus' name. But other than that, she had lived her own life and done her own thing, and I'm not going to get into all of that, but I stood with my grandmother at her bedside, amen, when she could not communicate due to ALS, and her body was nothing more than just a skeleton covered in skin, and she could only move one arm, and she was trying to communicate with me that she wanted me to do something. I had come in from out of state, and finally I was able to understand, and I said, Granny, you want me to pray with you? And she nodded her head yes. I knelt down beside that bed and I began to pray with that lady, and as tears flowed down her head, I have no idea what happened between her and her maker in those few moments. I don't step into that role. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they are. I don't step into that role. But what I do step into is, you've got to make your calling and your election sure today. You've got to do everything that you can today. If you're going to save yourself, you need to do it today. Don't wait until your last draw of breath. Don't wait until it's almost too late. Don't wait until you're in a car wreck and you're bleeding out. Don't wait until you're sitting laying in a hospital bed on life support. Get right today.
Praise God. But I can tell you one thing. Except a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's not my words. That's Jesus' words. That's not my opinion. That's the truth. That's what God said that we must do. Let's listen to some truth. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 22 that many would come to him in that day, and they would say unto him, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name? And we have done, in thy name we have cast out many devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And Jesus would look at them and say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I want you to know today, amen, that you got to buy the truth and sell it not. I'm not looking for a price saver brand of truth. I want the truth. I want the whole truth. And I want nothing but the truth. Amen. I've got to have the truth. It's the only thing that's going to help me. I don't want to find myself upon that day and saying, God, look at everything that I did for you. How many people did I baptize in your name? How many miracles did I see done in your name? And he said, depart from me. No, no, no. I must be saved. Whatever it takes, I've got to be saved. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 5. Bible says there were many dwelling in Jerusalem there were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men. Devout men. They were religious. They were religious. But I want you to know, amen, what truth does. Truth has the capacity to prick people in the heart. Truth has capacity to get into you. I want truth to get into my heart. I want truth to live inside of my heart. I want truth to be there. Amen. Amen. I want you to know that it was those religious people, amen, that were there for a feast, were there for tradition. Those religious men, they looked at Peter and they said unto them, men and brethren, what must we religious people do? We're religious. We're here for the feast of Pentecost. But you've done something to us. I'm convicted. What must we do? Peter spoke the truth to them. You can't erase this out of your Bible. You can't nick and tuck this out of your Bible. You can't ignore this out of your Bible. It's there. It's forever settled. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. That's the truth. That's the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. That's the truth. Jesus said, I have a lot to say to you, but you can't bear it. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. The truth hurts. But the truth will save you. The truth will save you. The doctor can lie and say, oh, no, you're looking pretty good. I mean, you got a couple issues. If you got cancer, that's not what you want to hear. You don't want to hear him tell you got cancer, but you don't want to hear everything's okay either. So what do you want him to do? Tell me the truth. I'm telling you the truth, that if you don't get some chemotherapy or something very quickly, you don't stand a chance. Well, I'm going to go get a second opinion. Okay, that ain't going to change the truth. You go get a second opinion and they say, you know what, it's bad. If you don't get some medicine, if you don't get something, you don't have very long to live. You got a choice to make at that point in time. And you know what? You can say, I'm not going to go through it. I'm just going to die. I had a man, had a gentleman in the church in Texas, and he called me to his bedside there at his house, and he said, I need to talk to you, Pastor. I said, okay. And he said, I just went to the doctor, got the reports back, and he said, I've got cancer. And he said, this is my second go-around. He said, it's bad. He said, I don't remember, 84, 87 years of age, whatever it was, I don't remember. He was in his 80s. And he said, Pastor, he said, I just don't feel like going through it anymore. He said, it's only going to prolong my life for 6 months to a year. He said, is it wrong not to do it? I said, no, absolutely not. You don't have to do it. And he said, okay. He said, well, with your blessing on it, I don't think I'm going to do it. I said, you don't have to do it. It's pretty easy, huh? Well, that's not the same way it is with truth. Pastor, I haven't been baptized in Jesus' name. You know, I don't be okay if I just don't do that? No. No. Well, I haven't been born again of the Spirit. I haven't received. I don't believe that you have to speak in tongues to you know. I just believe that you repent and you're baptized, that just happens. Is that okay? No. That's not it's not okay. You say, well, give me Bible. I will. I'll give you truth. You go to the book of Acts chapter number 8 and you see where Philip is preaching to Samaria. And the Bible tells you everything that happened. They had miracles, signs, and wonders. They had preaching. They had repented. They had been baptized. There was great joy there. But the Bible says specifically the Holy Ghost had not fallen on any of them. Preaching, repentance, baptism, miracles, joy does not equal salvation. So he called for Peter and the other apostles, and they came, and the Bible says they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Well, they got happy. They were already happy. Well, they got a miracle. They had already experienced miracles. Well, they got baptized. They were already baptized. You're just trying to weasel around the truth. Jesus said, I got some things to tell you, but you can't bear it. The apostle said, this is a hard thing. Jesus said, are you leaving too? Because it ain't going to change the truth. And they laid hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost. There was something that happened. A smile came on their face? No. They began to speak with other tongues. You know how I can say that? Because Acts chapter number 2 established how it happened. And if there's any variance from Acts chapter number 2, it will be noted throughout the Bible. You say, well, it doesn't record that they did that. Acts 2 established how it happens. If it happens any differently, any other way, it will be noted. So in other words, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, would have just simply said, they received the Holy Ghost, but they didn't speak in tongues. He didn't have to say they didn't speak, that they spoke in tongues, because Acts 2 established how that it comes. Nowhere in your Bible do you see that they received the Holy Ghost, but they didn't speak in tongues. Amen. That's just the way that it happens. Praise God. Religion doesn't alter the truth. Praise the Lord. Thank God I didn't preach this long at a funeral. It was already 2.5 hours long, as it was. Let me move quickly. Relationships do not alter the truth. There were some people that will bend truth so that they can have a relationship. Oh, well, you know what? She's a good girl. Relationships don't alter truth. You know what? He's a really good guy. Relationships don't alter truth. Let me read to you what the truth says, because, amen, he is sanctified. Thy word is truth. Let me read to you what the truth says. Luke chapter number 14, verse number 26, Jesus said this, if any man come to me, that includes me. That includes me. This is for me. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, you know what that is? There's that little word called and, which is a polysyndeton, which just simply means they are bringing extra emphasis upon each phrase, upon each subject. We're not just going to add a comma and just run through it. It's a stop and think, stop and think, stop and think, stop and think, stop and consider. And he said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and yea, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, I don't have to clarify this, but I will. That does not mean that you hate. So that doesn't give you the license to say, I hate you. That does not mean that. It simply means love more than. Love more than. In other words, I've got to love God more than I love my wife, more than I love my children, more than I love my mother, more than I love my father, more than I love my sister, more than I love anybody upon the face of this world. I've got to love God. If my wife turns from truth, I've got to stick with truth. If my mom and dad would have turned from truth, I got to stay with truth. Amen. The Bible says specifically, Acts 2 and 40, with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Amen. But there are relationships that cause people to be lost. Amen. The truth did not mean so much to them. get married and their spouse backslides and all of a sudden they go. They love their spouse more than they love God. Their children go crazy and they follow after their children. They love their children more than they love God. You got to find the truth and you got to stick with it. Let me ask you a question. How are they ever going to be saved, amen, if you are patty caking for Jesus? How are they ever going to be saved, amen, if you're following around in their footsteps and doing everything that they do while trying to hide a Christian life under the garment or the cloak of religion? It's not going to happen. The only way that they're going to find Jesus is you've got to show them. You've got to tell them. And you can't worry about what anybody did or is doing. I got to save myself. That's why I can look up to a man like Brother Boney, who would look at his daughters and meet them at the door and would say, you know what I preach and you know what I believe. Don't come in this house that way. To his own daughter. I'm not telling you that you need to do that. I'm just telling you about a man that so loved truth. A man that had this deep down within him that truth means everything to me. Amen. He told his own daughter, don't wear those pants in my house. You know what I believe. Somebody says, well, I can't see that. You're not going to see that. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, you can't see that. Except a man be born again. He cannot see that. What else is there that tries to alter and hinder truth? I've got to move quickly. Opinions cannot alter truth. Well, I believe, just for the sake of saying it, God doesn't really care what I believe. God didn't come tap me on the shoulder and say, Calvin, I'd like to know how you feel about this. He just said it. As a matter of fact, I looked it up. I spent some time looking at this. Listen to the words of Jesus. You don't have to listen to my words. Listen to the words of Jesus. This is some of the things that he said. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. I didn't say that. Jesus did. Except you be converted and become like little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, there is no other way. It's not going to happen. You say, well, how to become like little children? Amen. Those little children, they just believe everything that you tell them. They believe that daddy's the strongest, daddy's the best, and that daddy's going to save them. Amen. That's what Jesus said. I am, amen. You believe that he is the best, and he's doing everything that he can, and you believe that he can save you. Just do what he says. Jesus is recorded as saying this, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, except for my family. No, he said everybody, except there is no other way. The only way that you're going to get this is except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He said it like this, except a man be born again. He said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit. He said it like this, except you believe that I am he, you're going to perish. Amen. I want you to know today, amen, that God is not really interested in our opinions. Amen. He cares about how that we feel, but our opinions and our beliefs and all of that, amen, is not going to bend, stretch, twist. Amen. Truth. Truth is forever settled. God cares when you're sad. God cares when you're depressed. God cares when all of that. Amen. The Bible said you shall know the truth, and the truth is going to make you free. Not a pat on the back saying it's going to be better tomorrow. Amen. But it's the truth that is going to set you free. Whether we accept it or don't accept it, it doesn't bother truth. Truth is going to stand. Amen. Amen. Whether you accept it or you don't, whether I accept it, say, God, I'm not accepting that. Oh, hold on just a second. Let me change that for you. Mm-mm. My acceptance doesn't do anything to truth. Truth stands. It's forever settled in heaven. Fun, pleasure, it's not going to alter truth. Amen. Well, I just don't believe that I have to do it. It doesn't matter. I can say I don't believe it. It doesn't matter. Truth is truth. Fun, pleasure, it don't alter the truth. Amen. Romans 1 and 32. I'm not going to take the time to read all from 18 on down. But 1 and 32, it just simply says, who knowing the judgments of God. You knew the truth. I know the truth. Knowing the judgments of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. He's not even talking about me. He's talking about somebody else that did it. He said they are worthy of death. Not only do the same. He said, now, you're doing the same. He said, and you have pleasure in them that do it. Not only do you do the same, but you think it's fun to take pleasure in those that do it. You're laughing. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, that's it. Fun doesn't alter the truth. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Some of these people consider this fun. Fornication, idolaters, adultery, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. So these shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's truth. That's truth. Lord, that's a hard saying. Who can hear it? Lord said, will you go also? It's not going to. Peter, if you leave me, I'm not changing the truth. He said, such were some of you, but you changed. You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. Hebrews 11 and 25, Moses, concerning Moses, chose rather to suffer the afflictions of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Fun and pleasures doesn't alter. Well, I'm just going to do this, I'm just going to have a good time. That doesn't alter the truth. If the truth is against it, it's against it. You understand this morning, I'm not trying to be mean. I have wept and I have cried. I got to have truth. It does not matter what I believe. I better know what this says. I've got to find out what this says because I want to be saved. I don't want to be lost. I stood a bigger chance of being lost than I did being saved, even being raised in a Pentecostal home. Amen. I was nothing but just a heathen on the wrong road and going at breakneck speed. There's a lot of things I hadn't been caught for yet. And somehow or another, God got in my way. And he stopped me. And I had come face to face with truth. He told me, he said, if you just turn your life over to me, I'll take care of a lot of things. I had to take the offer. I went down to an altar and I repented. 2 days later, I was baptized. I received the Holy Ghost. But that doesn't just save me. I don't want to be like one of the foolish virgins who's got their lamp but no oil. The last thing that I want to address here this morning is a touchy one. It's probably one that I have seen more people lost over than anything. It's not drugs. It's not alcohol. It's not all the fun and the filth that's out in the world. It's not. But I cannot tell you the number of people who use this card to try to alter and change truth. And it's called hurt. We could also call it being offended. Jesus said, offenses shall come. He let us know that. He said, hurt is going to come. offenses shall come. It comes in many forms, many cloaks, many different ways. But offenses come. It comes through spouses. People can be offended and hurt by spouse ending in divorce. I've seen people that just couldn't get over it. And they walk out on God. Somehow or another blaming God. Why did God allow this to happen to me? I've seen death come. Premature death. Unexpected death come. And people just can't get over it. And they walk away from God. God, why did you allow this to happen? If there really is a God, why? Hurt. I've seen people quit church because of what other people in the church did to them. I'm gonna try to be plain without being crude. I've seen people quit church because of mean preachers. Just because I'm a preacher doesn't give me a license to be mean. But I've also seen preachers quit because of mean saints. Just get tired of dealing with them. Brother Wirtz and I, men, we were talking around the lunch table yesterday, and it was brought up that a man that I know and know of, and some of us may have know of, but had a massive heart attack yesterday. Brother Wirtz made the statement. He said, you know, there's so many preachers out there that have heart attacks. Number one killer in preachers, heart attacks. It's just the stress. It's so hard to get away from the stress. That's why my pastor said, you need a hobby. You need to do something that you can lay down pastoring for a little while and go do something. It's the only thing that's going to help you, keep you sane, in your right mind. You don't know the times that I'm awake in the middle of the night just thinking about you, thinking about others. Seen preachers quit because of other preachers. It's so sad. But hurt does not change truth. It'll never change the truth. It doesn't matter what friends and relationships and saints, preachers, doesn't matter what they do. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. And I stand here today and I tell you, I want to be right in every occasion, but I still need an altar. I try to do right. I'm not saying I'm involved in gross sin or anything else like that, but I'm human, just like every one of us are human. I still need an altar that I got to hold on to. I'm going to have to hold on to that altar until he says, well done. Because offenses shall come. Paul said, I'm going through all of these things. He said, I've been in perils of the water and of thieves and robbers and all this other. He said, I've been in perils among my own brethren. Why is it that sometimes Jesus said, by this all men shall know that you are my disciples when they see your love one towards another. But sometimes religion has a stamp upon it that supposedly gives us the privilege to be rude and crude and stuff to other people. And I'm not saying that it's not going to happen, but we need to be careful. We need to be careful. Because what we say can cause somebody to walk out on God, but that doesn't make them right. I looked over that vast assembly of people at that funeral, and I can't tell you the number of people that I know And there's probably so many that I did not. But I can't tell you the number that I know that are not in church today because of an offense, because of a hurt. Can I share something with you today? The Bible, the epitome of truth, the definition of truth, the whole of truth, says it like this. Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Let's stand this morning. I want nothing but the truth. I want to do whatever I can, whatever I have to do, to buy the truth and sell it not. I want the whole truth. The whole truth. I want everything that is essential. I want everything that matters. And I'm not against other things that would be a little bit extra to help me along the way. Amen. I'm not going to let religion alter the truth. I'm not going to let relationships alter the truth. I'm not going to let pleasure. I'm not going to let opinions. Well, I know what that preacher says, but I don't believe that. I'm not going to let opinions, beliefs, alter the truth. I'm not going to let hurt alter the truth. They can't. But I can become so convoluted. I can become so messed up in my mind that all of a sudden I have a right to be rude. I have a right to do what I want to. I don't want to come to that place, because you know what that place is? The Lord spoke of it and said that he would send them a strong delusion, that they would believe a lie. You say the lie is the opposite of the truth. I understand what you're saying. But it's not so just 180 degrees. It's just something very small. And it alters truth. Believe a lie that they should not obey the truth. They'd be lost forever. I want the truth. Say, why isn't this church running 5,000? Because there's a lot of people that don't want the truth. Because the truth hurts. The truth is the mirror of the Word. And the truth shows your reflection. That mirror does not lie. That truth, that mirror shows your reflection and who you really are. And you look into the Word of God and you're just looking at that and you're saying, oh, that don't feel good. Oh, that don't look right. I don't like that. And you got to skip things to fit your own truth. And it's not even a truth. Amen. I want the truth. Praise God. Altars are open here this morning. Maybe there's some things that you need to come talk about to the truth speaker. Some things that you need to talk about to the one that is the truth. He said, I am the truth. Job, where were you when I lay the foundation of the earth. Where were you when I was putting everything into existence? Where were you? Did I come consult with you and ask you for your opinion on all these things? Answer me, Job. Job just had to hang his head. He said, No, I'm wrong. That's who you and I were. Guilty. But at some point in time, he walked into our life. And he said, if you'll hear and obey the truth, I'll wipe away your every fault. I'll cleanse you. I'll redeem you. I'll sanctify you. If all you do is just accept the truth. And you can start off by saying, you know what, God, I accept it. And then the truth leads you into all truth. And the Lord would say, all right, if you accept it, then this is what you're going to have to do. This is the stipulations. You need to repent. You need to be baptized in my name. You need to be filled with my spirit. And you say, I accept or I don't accept. If you don't accept, he walks away. He may come visit you again, but you understand it's his terms, not my terms. And after you've been born again of the water and the Spirit, truth leading you to more truth, he starts talking about your way of life. He starts talking about your language. He starts talking about the way you conduct yourself. And at any point in time you want to walk away, you can. You look at the Lord and say, oh, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? The Lord says, oh, we're going to change it for you. No. He just simply says, will you go also? The Lord starts talking to you about all kinds of things in life. Because truth leads you to all truth. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. But you can be lost. I don't have to believe it. I don't have to accept it. That's my prerogative. That's my choice. But I will be lost. But if I accept it, the grace of God which hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. Truth just starts teaching. You need to deny ungodliness. You need to deny worldly lust. You need to live righteously. You need to live soberly. You need to live godly in this present world. I'll do it, God. And as you're going through life, the Lord speaks to you and says, well, what about this? Oh, but this is so much fun. That doesn't alter truth. I'll do it, God. Truth just leads us to truth. You say, well, what if I get in the truth and then I just stop? That's not going to save you. Because when you stop believing, when you stop accepting, when you stop conforming to truth, you become bent. Bent by your own ways, bent by your own thoughts, minds, bent by your own opinions, bent by your own beliefs, because you didn't accept the truth. It's right or wrong, straight or crooked. You got to continue to walk in truth.